Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers to Healing and Infinite Love, and I am delighted to welcome Eileen Workman, author of A Completely Unique Story of Love in all its seemingly complex ways, but in reality, like the title suggested by her book, simply a way to find raindrops of love for a thirsty world. Everywhere, in every situation, we are offered opportunities to find and share love. Hello, Eileen, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Eileen, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect over the years, they are well aware my guests and I share intimate experiences of either physical or metaphysical origins to discover the truth of our actual being, which many see as the duality of physical and spiritual life, when in actuality, unity and oneness is our natural state of being. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will explore ways to realize that we, you and I, are one spirit flowing within and throughout the infinite realm of matter and energy, and that our unity has always and ever been so. In our journey of personal self-realization, we will discuss soft love, tough love, self-love, and life love. Eileen Workman spent 16 years in the financial industry on Wall Street, so one might think that she wasn't having a spiritual experience, but in actuality, everything is a spiritual experience. And after a profound spiritual awakening, left that industry and wrote Sacred Economics, The Currency of Life. The book is about directing our attention towards the purposeful design of a more compassionate, cooperative, and abundantly flowing economic system for a spiritually driven perspective. Eileen, I always begin by asking my guests to think back to childhood and to remember a person, place, or idea that was meaningful to them, and if that is reflected in the adult life they enjoy now. Because I think the beginning, it's all there. It's just a matter of our learning to remember. Yeah. So think back for a moment.
Wow, that's a really deep question. And if I think back to my childhood, my earliest childhood memories take me back to the forest. I grew up in central Pennsylvania, around, you know, in a forest near a river. We had this beautiful wilderness that was just, you know, I lived on a cul-de-sac, so literally at the bottom of the cul-de-sac across the street was the woods. And as a child, I played in the woods, you know, for hours and hours on end with my friends and often alone. And there was just something about being in nature, being connected with nature and life that has always been part of my psyche.
That's beautiful. I grew up in the city in Brooklyn, not quite as conducive to being in that beautiful connection to spirit. But we used to go away in the summer to the mountains on a little bungalow, and I had the river also and played with the little salamanders that I remember. And I would say those were very precious times. And I vividly remember most of that and not so much else from my childhood. So it's very interesting, the importance of that connection to the openness of the breath and nature and the animals and the peace that I guess we felt even as children when no one was expecting so much of us and we could simply just be. So it's a beautiful memory you have. What is the message of your book, Raindrops of Love for a Thirsty World? What do you feel is the promise it makes?
My sense of it is that consciousness, human consciousness, is currently in what I would consider a collective adolescent state, and that we are poised on the brink of moving into collective adulthood, into a more mature form of consciousness. And as part of that transformation or transition from this long, rather struggling adolescent time frame for consciousness to mature, as part of that transition, what is kind of coming up for a lot of people is how to get out of this sense of insecurity and neediness, judgment, some of these other things that we've been participating in for such a long time, and really how to fall in love with ourselves and learn how to then translate that into love for all things.
Absolutely, beautifully said. And I believe the book also acknowledges the natural limits of human self-consciousness and honors this rising natural impulse within our species, whether we're aware of it or not, to evolve beyond present limited consciousness and to become more life aware. And when I say more life aware, I mean life not just in the physical world or in our physical bodies, but to appreciate ourselves as eternal energy of creation and part of an intelligent, ever-changing universe. You know, as a Reiki master teacher, I connect to this life force every day. And as I was telling you before the show, the messages that come in, much like what you have written, are in a poetic, it's a different language, and it feels different, and it sounds different, and it is peaceful, and it is uplifting, and it is encouraging, and it is whispering to us to come out of, as you said, the adolescent stage, and to let our souls mature. So I think your book shows a great deal of that. And as we're all on different levels of understanding, it's okay. Whatever speaks to us at whatever point in our journey is right for us, and it doesn't have to be the same for someone else. Your book hints at the human journey. We were just sort of talking about that. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, the way that I again perceive it, I love the whole evolutionary process. One of the things that gives me so much joy in talking about this is that I think for a very long time, humankind has had this perception of ourselves as broken or fallen or wrong or bad, rather than simply evolving and learning and growing and changing. So to shift that storyline and to appreciate that consciousness is evolving the same way that physiology has evolved. And that is part of the human journey, is that we birthed self-awareness. And it didn't come into this world fully mature, fully capable, fully understanding even what it was or how to interface with the rest of reality. That's been the journey we've been on so far, is how to ground self-awareness. What do we do with it? What are the advantages that it conveys upon us? What are the challenges that it has delivered unto us that we now need to rise above and find new ways? And for me, that journey is the shift from self-awareness, which locks us into this sort of individuated, separate sense. Very, very important part of the process. But as we move through that process, my focus on life awareness is to consciously reconnect with the totality of the universe, with the wholeness of everything, with the interactivity and the interconnection of all that is. So that's the missing step, or the step that we're, I think, tentatively taking one at a time, and hopefully that will converge on the collective, and we will have this collective awakening
Yeah,
into that recognition.
I think everything that's happening now in the world, all these challenges and the changes in nature, are part of this growth process so many can awaken. In the book you wrote, I know how confused you have felt at times as you've traveled in the world of form, and how on occasion you've struggled to find your proper place in the world. I've also watched you grow lost now and then in the dramas of human society. Even so, in this precious now moment, you can reclaim your native tongue and commune with me in our mutual language, for the language of life has been ever your birthright, beloved. The doorway that leads directly to me is unlocked and will always stand open. The only key you need is simple willingness to listen to the cosmic melody that plays inside you, so you can dance your way home to your higher self through the gateway within your own ear. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. It's within us. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the same words you used as I was awakening in my own process. Dance
mm-hmm.
and time and space. Certain words kept, coming through my consciousness and leading me to know that this language as I was interacting with also was so beautiful and brought to me
mm-hmm.
such a fullness of acceptance of life and the pain for worrying about what I couldn't do or wouldn't do just faded away because everything was right as it is. And none of us have to be more. We're already everything we need to be. It's in the fear of thinking we're less that we actually can tune in and do this dance with the universe and feel the peace and feel the love and feel the energy constantly flowing from us and to other people and from other people to us. So
mm-hmm.
I think you expressed that so beautifully in that passage. I understand that you had a life-changing spiritual experience. Can you tell us a bit about that? I'm sure it happened when you were in the financial field. I'm sure it
Yes,
happened there.
Absolutely. It was the turning point for my life. It was a major fulcrum. And I was working in financial services at the time, and I had been struggling for a number of years trying to get a better grip on, what is this thing I'm in? Is this all there is? This, working and just this life that everybody told me I'm supposed to like, and this is what I'm supposed to want. And why don't I feel fulfilled? Why don't I feel peaceful? Why don't I feel like my life has purpose or meaning? And as I began to go deeper into those questions, ultimately, I found myself in a situation where I had a psychological breakdown. They call it a psychosis in the medical profession, but I think a lot of people in the shamanic and spiritual realms would call it a spiritual emergency or a spiritual awakening.
Yes.
Where basically, what happens is you shatter all of your mm-hmm. previously conceived assumptions and basically your thought structures, if you think of it as like a structure in your head of all these stairways and ladders of thinking, it all explodes and you go back to just this openness of you don't know anything, just knowing nothing. And then starting again from that place, that deep place of humility and willingness to engage with life, like you said, not in a language-oriented way, but
feeling.
Opening one's heart, the feeling, yes,
mm-hmm.
and life speaks to us then across, it's like across our physiology, in emotions, and in colors, and in sounds,
mm-hmm.
and in multi-dimensional quantum sorts of images and things. It's a beautiful experience.
Absolutely.
But quite terrifying, too.
Well,
at
the beginning it is, because I when I started to have, I would call it a midlife crisis at about 42, I felt the same way you did. I had what I was supposed to have, a family and a successful career, and I could travel. But all of a sudden I asked, what is life really about? Why does my heart hurt? What is
mm-hmm.
am I missing, or what is there that I need to do that I'm not doing that would make me feel whole or complete, or what's lacking? And that is an awakening. And we don't really need all these labels. A lot of people love to label what happens to us, but I think whatever happens to us is not random, and it's a necessary part of our soul and spiritual development. And so it's all okay, and we get through it one way or another, and nothing is really bad or good, or there's no failure and there's no perfection. These are all just words and labels that we give, and it hinders us from going forward and combine and connecting to what you just described as the language of the universe and the way we are part. The universe is within us, and we are within the universe, and we've really never left it. This physical, we're there right at this moment, but we think because we're in a physical body, which we've created also with our consciousness and thoughts, that we have to subscribe to everything that everybody else believes to be so. And our beliefs change when we have these awakening experiences, and we. Those of us who are brave enough and courageous enough are able to say, well, what I thought before is not so now in this moment. And many people can't give up those old beliefs because they are afraid they will shatter and they will have a breakdown. But in the truth is, you need to realize that what was in the past and what you believed then is not necessarily what you need now and where you're going. So none of it is bad. It's just all the perception and all the people around us who are on different levels and who want to keep us all together. They think keeping our thoughts all together is the way to avoid change. But change is happening all the time, so it's good and it's not necessary to stop it. So let's go on to are there specific exercises a person can do to ground this type of thinking and material more thoroughly or fully in their own life? How might they start to become aware of the things you and I are so fully aware of at this point in our journey? And how can other people start to? They want to get there. Once they start to ask the question, what is it all about? They know there's more, so how can they begin to make this move, this forward move?
Well, it seems to me that life is inspiring us all, and it's looking for, just like water does, it seeks the point of the path of downhill, the point of least resistance. So part of the process is being open, is learning how to open our hearts, quiet our thinking minds, which is, something that is constantly running. We're constantly entertaining our minds and taking in data points and information, but it's transmitted by other humans for the most part. To open a different portal and allow the larger universe to commune with us on these different levels is a huge movement forward in being able to develop a deeper appreciation for who and what we are. So I definitely encourage people to give themselves spaciousness and time to just quietly walk in nature or meditate, detach from the screens, turn off the television, do whatever is necessary to feed your own soul with that silence, because it's through that porthole of silence, the portal of silence, that enables us to hear the whispers of life. So that's the primary record.
Yeah, absolutely. That word, I was waiting for you to say it in my thoughts. I said it before you said it. In the silence. In the silence is where we find that connection and that oneness and the fact that everything is just as it needs to be. So,
It's a very full silence. It's not empty.
no, it's not.
Everything is there.
But it's
So
not
that's
the running drama of our thoughts and our everyday life that's there at that moment. Can you elaborate? A lot of people are interested in this topic. Can you elaborate on the role of the masculine and feminine? How is that relationship changing over time? And is the for our listeners out there may be a way that they want to respond to these changes in their own life. So tell us something about that.
Well, it appears that as part of this dualistic process, this separation experience that consciousness has undertaken as part of its human exploration, that the masculine and the feminine also separated, at least in our minds, we see them as two different energies. In truth, we are all, each of us has both masculine and feminine. But in the adolescent phase of human evolution or human social building, the patriarchy took over. The masculine dominated the adolescent time frame, which is not uncommon. I mean, if you look at how individual adolescents mature, that's exactly what happens. Boys tend to get bigger, stronger, more aggressive, more capable. Girls tend to sort of go within themselves during their adolescent years and become insecure and more quiet, and their bodies are changing and they're uncomfortable and they're not quite sure how to interface with the world anymore. So that time period is reflected in how our society has constructed itself. And I think what's happening as we're moving into this next phase, the maturation of human consciousness, the feminine is coming forward now. Just as happens when we move into adulthood as individuals, the female tends to mature a little bit faster, come into her womanhood a little bit more quickly and fully than the man, which, has a delayed, more delayed adolescence. And I think that's what we're seeing now, is we're seeing the feminine rising and womanhood wanting to take its rightful place as the co-creator lover of the masculine. But we're still dealing with a juvenile masculine patriarchal system. So that's why this
Absolutely.
system
Yeah.
is crumbling.
Yeah, it's
And it's
crumbling.
crumbling all around us.
Yes, it
And
really
it has
is.
to.
And it
It
has
has
to.
to.
And it will. And things will move
Yeah.
on to a whole new level of energy interactions and people behaving as they were born to be free and complete in both their male and female energy. But in relation to those thoughts you just said, we have come to know that this time in the physical world has been filled with separation. You just said that. But there's never been separation from our living life force, which is within us and we are within it. So this has been a fear. Politics and religion and science and the male and female dichotomy have created and kept that thought going. And in reference to that, in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote, each human being builds through unity and purpose of experiences an indivisible oneness of the finest aspects of divine blessings, which are love, humility, forgiveness, and the generosity of merging ourselves with all that is. The purpose must be to prepare and refine our souls through our choices made in our physical lives for an eternal soul worthy of divine introspection. So we have to remember to stand firmly in these feelings that swell within us, within our hearts and within our gut and within our minds also. And remember that you and remember me, we're one together in unity and love for all time in life and even in death. Yes, so when we remember that, we will be well on our way to realizing who we are. Now, some may feel that the book is a repudiation of God and religion in the traditional sense of those words. How would you respond to that perspective?
I guess the best way
It's
that I
not
can say
really. It's
no, it's not.
just
It
a more
actually is.
advanced way of understanding what they're trying to understand in science and religion, by bringing it together, quantum physics and an understanding of the truth of the life force. But go on, tell us about that.
Well, what I would suggest is that our earliest religions came out of the childlike state of consciousness that was the early hominid way of thinking. And that, again, that was that feeling of being bad or wrong and having somehow displeased the cosmos, which is why we were suddenly finding ourselves struggling. And what I would call what we describe as the fall from grace in the Garden of Eden is actually the birth of self-awareness. And that was our shift from the innocence of childhood, where everything was one, but we didn't have a sense of self, to developing a core sense of self that created the perspective of separation. And so I'm bringing it back full circle and saying, as the perspective of separation dissolves and we begin to recognize that we have never left source, and in fact, our very breath is it's an invisible umbilical cord to source. We breathe source in every day, every moment. So, you know, that connection becomes more vital and more conscious. And our definition of what God is shifts as we make that physical connection and that conscious connection with source. We see God then no longer as this paternal or parental figure, but as the source of what we are, as mm-hmm. that which has both created us and that we are in. We're
yes.
within God. We've mm-hmm. never left.
Never
so
left. And you wrote this, and it will make it clear to all listeners. I invite you to realize what I already know. You are a wondrously grand, orgasmic expression of the formless one life in eternal love with itself. Know that only you shall ever be you throughout eternity and beyond the boundlessness of infinity. Therefore, appreciate the awesomeness of your precious form self and feel me flowing inside you as endless love. And there it is. So you see, God, the universal source, the divine, is a creative force of endless energy swirling within forever and allowing all life forms to communicate with this energy and oneness. So when you realize this, for me, there was no going back. When I realized this, I said, let me carry this ball to the end of the goal line and share it with as many people as I can. And that's what you and I are doing today, because it is something so marvelous, so freeing, so full of the passion of the life force that you talk about throughout the book. And it's simply, quite simply, just the truth. So I mm-hmm. want to thank you, Eileen Workman, author of Raindrops of Love for a Thirsty World, and for sharing your amazing story of transition and transformation, opening up to the true eternal force of life and love, and the benefits that are there for all of us to discover beyond the ordinary limiting physical view of individual and collective reality. For more information and to purchase this divinely channeled story of life in its infinite wisdom and beauty, go to EileenWorkman.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within and listening to the beautiful words and thoughts of life within the eternal spirit of creation, and in becoming more in alignment to self and love, we honor our time in living a physical life that explores learning through experience and creating greater compassion for self and others in challenges of these changing times. As Eileen wrote, beloved, I invite you to release your dreams from the prison of your own subconscious. Share your deepest truth with others so they too may intuit what spirit hungers to birth in the world through them. And because form and formlessness are forever entwined and unified, I already know what you dream, when you dream, for I dream your dreams with you. Eileen and I would have you know, you do live in a world filled with love and natural beauty, creativity, and the means to appreciate yourself and others. And you can elevate others to greater joy and positivity by allowing, accepting, and embracing life just as it is. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear and read about authors and leaders of change who lead us to know our true nature beyond mere physical life, and to know the boldness of the universe and creative forces of experience. Shows may be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for listening.